Welcome to the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. That's Fission, F-I-S-S-I-O-N, because we are living now in the Age of Fission post-Fukushima. Welcome to the show. It's 8 a.m. Pacific Coast time. Today is April 22nd. It's Earth Day, and instead of saying Happy Earth Day, I'm going to say Occupy Earth Day. Go do a protest somewhere. Go protest. This is not about let's celebrate the Earth. The Earth Day is about let's save the Earth from the corporate monsters that are destroying it. So most of you know that Friday is Call-In Friday. I'm super excited about this Call-In Friday because I have a guest host, and it is the famous and reverent Dana Durnford. And I really appreciate you, Dana, for being here and hanging in with us.
Well, thank you so kind, Lonnie.
It is awesome to have you share this hour with us. And I'm going to give out, the reason I wanted you on the show is it's Call-In Friday, and I'm hoping that people will call in and ask you questions, intelligent questions. Anybody that starts to, like, be abusive in any way, because Dana is a little bit, he has been maligned in the internet, in the paper, and in the media. So if there's any kind of hostile calls, I'm going to just eliminate them right away.
That being I don't mind. Said, I got
well,
no problem
I
with
mind.
It.
I'm not going to let the nuclear liars have 1 second.
I can handle what they can throw at me. Whatever they want to throw at me, I can knock it out of the ballpark as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Well,
I'm not putting out a challenge. I'm just saying that if someone wants to come and be abusive, I'll explain to everybody else why that is so wrong and
okay.
What, you know, the whole 9 yards.
So let me give
I'm not
out
worried
this,
about it.
Let me give out the phone number, and then you and I will chat, because usually, let me just tell you this, Dana, on Call-In Fridays, it's usually me talking, and a few phone calls will happen near the end of the show. So let me give out the phone number, and I'll do that repeatedly. But I'm hoping that because we now have Dana Durnford and they hear your voice, people will give us a call, and you can ask your questions directly to Dana Durnford. I know there's thousands of people who follow you on YouTube. They go to your website, thenuclearproctologist.org. For those of you who don't know Dana, let me give you a little preview of who he is a little bit. Do you mind, Dana?
No, you've already hit.
He actually had been reporting on YouTube regarding Fukushima and the harm that it's doing. He lives in Vancouver, Canada. Am I correct, Dana? Dana? Oh, dear. Well, look, Dana is this is what's happened. He kind of forewarned me. He's on the phone. He's on a ferry. He's actively doing something. So he's in a ferry that's enclosed, not an open ferry. So he said, hang on. He's going to walk up to the deck. And we haven't been disconnected, so I'm going to let it go for about 5 minutes and see if he pops back up, because it doesn't show he's disconnected. Kind of perfect timing. Let me tell you who Dana Durnford is. Go to www.nuclearproctologist.org. Dana went on a, I guess it looks like a dinghy ride to me. He took a boat. They took a little, he'll tell you what type of boat, but it looks like a little plastic boat. Went up and down the coast 1,500 okay. miles. Here you are, Dana.
Yeah, I'm going upstairs.
That's what I figured. So what kind of boat was it that you went on up and down the coast?
I got a 25-foot Coast Guard Zodiac. It's got a Kevlar bottom. It's the real deal. It's meant to come back every day. It's got an aluminum cabin on it. It's got a diesel stove in it.
It looks like a plastic boat to me. I mean, I didn't really, a canvas boat, you know. To me, it looks super dangerous.
If you were on an 80-foot boat and you were sinking, that's the boat will come and get you.
Oh, okay.
So if you're in a big storm, it was hellish, and you were on a 100-footer, 200-footer, that's the thing that's coming to get you.
So that thing could withstand any really hard weather.
That was the history of that boat going out and rescuing people in adverse conditions, yeah.
Okay.
So it's a safe boat, but a small, tiny in comparison. But it's meant to go into tidal zones, into the rock piles over and over and over, and take a beating.
And that's what you did. He did do that. He went into the rock zones. He got an underwater camera, put it underwater, took pictures of it being underwater, showed that there is really no marine life up. I mean, minimal. Probably what, Dana, 80 to 90% is gone.
Right. We found 100 species throughout the coastline of British Columbia over 260 days. And so there should be 5,600 species.
Oh my God.
Now there should be another 6,500 invertebrate species. And so we do 260 days on the ocean, 15,000 miles of the coastline. And that's an extinction event, because the species that were left were emaciated and they were sparse.
Wow.
And there was nothing healthy. There was no ecosystem to survive on. Just hang on 1 second, Mom was there.
Sure. Well, I will tell you, when you guys go to nuclearproctologist.org, look around his page, look at the photographs, look at the effort that Dana did, just uploading the data that he has gotten, the photographic data and the things that he did. And this, for those of you that don't know, Dana is not an able-bodied person. He had a work-related accident a while back, many years ago, and he is now not wheelchair bound, but he needs assistance to walk. So it was really a tremendous effort that Dana has been able to actually accomplish his task. So
yeah, I lost a wheelchair overboard, and that got me to use my legs. It was out of that or go home. And like, what people got to understand is there's another 4.2 million species in the Pacific Ocean on the coastline of British Columbia, and they didn't recede the coastline. And so when you go into the tidal zones in British Columbia, there's 26,000 islands, archipelago of islands here. It's one of the most unique places on the planet, certainly for Canada. It's a tropical forest. The warm waters come directly over from Japan and warms up the coastline. The coastline of Canada is unique. You don't get ice in the wintertime destroying the habitat in the tidal zones. And the tidal zones could be from 16 feet all the way up to 24 feet in the height of Gouai, Queen Charlotte, formerly known as the Queen Charlotte's. Now, so when I done the coastline, I done a species count on insects, we done a species count on birds, and we done a species count on the invertebrates and on the indigenous population in the tidal zones. And they were extinct for the most part. We've seen 11 species of birds over 260 days. We've seen less than 100 species symmetrically throughout the entire coastline. And any given spot would have less than, say, 10 species. Now, that's a phenomenon we've never seen before. When you have, say, 600 algae, you have 78 species of sea anemones. These come in multiple colors and very vibrant colors. They populate the tidal zones themselves. And you can get up to 500 per square meter. And they're very visible, highly visible, up to 3 feet plumes. Now, when you look at the starfish has been decimated throughout the coastline, they're trying to blame this on El Nino. They're trying to blame it on the warm water.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was you got three multi-reactors in Japan. Each reactor was three times the size of Chernobyl. Each reactor, not counting what's on the roof of those reactors.
And that's not to say it's nine times as bad as Chernobyl. That's the interesting thing. I've heard people say that. So, Dana, let me break here.
Sure.
We have a caller who joined us on the phone. So, welcome to the Age of Fission radio show. You're on the phone with Dana Durnford and Lonnie Clark. Who are we speaking with?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah, I can kind of hear you. Go ahead.
This is Dennis Nestor from Phoenix, Arizona.
Great.
Well, actually Goodyear, Arizona now.
Okay.
But I want to talk about something that nobody ever talks about is how the right process to neutralize and eliminate radioactive waste, which threatens all life on the planet. And met Dr. Roy climbing a mountain in 81. We became friends for 10 years until he retired, but he was a very famous physicist in Europe. And I've seen pictures of him and President Eisenhower and General Eisenhower and Dr. Roy on the wall, his wall. So, I mean, I could spend an hour just all the credentials he had.
That's all right. Are you telling us that they have a solution to neutralize the radiation, sir?
Yes. Dr. Roy invented this after Three Mile Island.
And what is that?
It's called the Roy process. What makes things radioactive is there's too many neutrons in the nucleus of the atom.
Do you know about this, Dana? Pardon me. Dana.
What makes this stuff radioactive is it went through a chain reaction, and it's all ionized and radiated. It's not like we took something and then added something to it. We were creating it all from uranium from the get-go. Now, that works in certain applications, but you can't re-seed the coastline of British Columbia, Canada. You can't change the extinction event of the birds and the mammals and the whales. And
that's
you can't
right.
remediate such a open environment. You can't contain it. And when you talk about 88 times 37 billion atoms per gram, you're talking about 5 million pounds in each reactor. And you talk about how that's into the jet streams, is into the troposphere and the upper and lower atmosphere, and how it's permeated now throughout
the Dana, could you say that statistic again? I'm going to jump on your words there. That you threw that out. Like, what is that?
What? Which one?
88 what? Million something.
It's 88. So there's 88 curries in a gram of man-made nucleoids of refined chain reaction. When it went through a chain reaction, it's recognized now as being, it's created from the uranium. So if you put uranium into the reactor and you got plutonium, uranium, americium, rather, and neptunium, you got all the cesium and iodines are produced from the uranium in the reactor. And because the entire evolution of that cesium or plutonium or americium, the entire evolution was in the chain reaction from the uranium. So it's completely ionized, it's completely radiated. And when you sit in a chair, of course, and you do a Geiger count or full count of the body like they're doing in Japan, it's because that those elements are permeating right through your body and out to the Geiger counters themselves. But what like you might be able to remediate with certain technology and certain cleansing and
like
stuff
the
like
Roy,
that.
Do you know the Roy process that this gentleman's talking about?
I'm kind of familiar with it. Is what I'm saying is how are you going to use that to remediate food
what's
and water
been
and lakes
done,
and rivers?
Yeah,
and,
like the previous.
Or, no, like even in the future, how is you going to scale that up to accommodate 7 billion people? And so, you know what I'm saying? You can do it for individuals. You can do it for maybe certain aspects of their lives. And you might be able to neutralize it many different ways. We don't know. There's 4,300 peer-reviewed academic studies published every day, but they're locked up behind the paywalls of Elsevier, Springer, and Wiley. They get the copyrights to it. And so we don't really know what kind of technology. We know that people like Dr. Raymond Gilmedi, who have done 94 studies on plutonium and americium, given dogs cancer with it, have never tried to cure the cancer. So it's interesting that we see where they did use Parisian extracts to try to decorporate the cesium from the muscles and from the body of the animals, but they don't have any kind of large scale. Now, I know the Keisha Foundation is out there saying they can cure it. There's a number of foundations out there saying that they can remediate the radiation. Like, how are you going to do that on such a large, grand scale and so many aspects?
Well, you cannot change what already is loose in the four winds. So, I mean, it's too late for them.
Well, the worst part is the water, because the land, I think there's some phytoremediation that you can use plants to.
We need that technology. We need that technology for the future and find out how to incorporate it into all the communities and stuff like that.
In St. Louis, they're beginning to do phytoremediation. So that's something that is beginning to happen there on a scale that's, they're starting to build it up, but it's all being attempted to be controlled by the government again.
This is not
Seen anything that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
This is not remediation. This is elimination.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
The whole reason for nuclear power is to make plutonium 239 for atom bombs, and the rest. And the rest is PR. You know, using it for medical and using it for
we're not moving forward by talking about something that there's no practical applications and there's no widespread. I'll look it up, but right now I don't know how to go forward with something that go ahead.
Slow it down. That's the best we can do now.
So what you're suggesting is we got to stop those reactors. Yeah.
We got to stop the reactors before we can even do anything else.
We got to stop.
Do you think we can apply it using the Roy process? Because I'm not familiar with it. It sounds like you are, but Dana, do you think that the Roy process might be able to be applied to the nuclear reactors?
I don't know what it is. You don't know it.
No, I don't know what it is. That's what I'm saying. There's all these people that are making these extravagant claims about it, Keisha Foundation. It's not just Roy. It's not just anybody else. It's that there's a group of people out there making extravagant claims, but they're not backing it up. I'm not seeing the documentation. And I go through the documentation and flush it out. But I'm not going to sit here and argue with people on the phone about whether it's right or wrong, because he don't know, I don't know, you don't know, and we can't prove it, is what I'm saying in context.
That's right. You have to do a test and show it. You have to have data. You have to.
Until then, I'm not interested. That's all.
Yeah,
I'm not interested in all the wing jobs out there. Not calling you or him or Kesh or anybody else a wing job, but I'm just saying that's the problem where people say they got this fantastic way forward. We're talking about an extinction event in the Pacific Ocean. We're talking about massive cancers, massive deaths. We're talking about a contaminated country. And this radio show we're not really moving forward having a conversation about something we don't know.
We did a video with Dr. Roy in 81, or 90, I'm sorry, 91. And you can visit that on YouTube.
Well, it's been around for so long. Has it been used for decommissioning? Has it been used for any other big facilities?
It's been outlawed. By President Ronald Reagan made burials.
Yeah, but there's other countries. There's other countries. Like if I put out a new invention today, China will have it on the street tomorrow morning. Yeah, but China does. You know what I mean? Other countries will steal the technology and sell it on eBay in a heartbeat, is what I'm saying to you. Okay, well, thank you. We'll look it up. We'll look it up for sure.
Well,
I'm not going to sit here and argue about something that.
Thank you, sir, for giving us a
call. It's called No Time to Waste, EIS.
Okay. Thank you for giving us a call.
I hope you're right. Hug for your loved ones.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I had never heard of the Roy process. That was something that was new to me. But, you know, that just highlights, Dana, the fact that there are, like, probably lots of ideas. What'd you say?
I said, how do they find us that for the first call?
Well, I think it's interesting because we have a lot of, you know, we have people that listen to us on the internet are people who, it sounds like this gentleman was retired.
I have so many studies. I have so many studies
on
different aspects of radiation. I'm talking in the thousands, and that I have never seen a study where they were able to solve the riddle. And quite the opposite. This is, they're noble gases. There's no way to contain it.
You want to know volatile, a study that right? I found while I was doing a research process for one of my science classes in school? I found a recent study from 2013 by six science. It was a scientifically published study of six scientists who studied the information that the NRC said. And it said that it was trying to verify all these claims about what the NRC in the United States was saying about no harm to human health. And so they looked at the data that had been provided to them, and they said basically the summation of their study was that the NRC in the United States basically make all these claims, but there is no studies to back them up. Very little.
Right.
They asked for 100 studies. They got one. They asked again. They got 10. They asked again. They said, that's all you're getting. And in those studies, the studies were all construed to make, they were excluding nuclear from this. And it was a really thorough study. It was a 15-page report that I had. It was really, wasn't shocking because I
Yeah, you're supposed to.
But what was shocking is this is a professionally, publicly stated article in the scientific community. So, what is that?
And how did that get?
It's
a betrayal of academics. Yeah.
Look, like they're just going, oh yeah, they're fucking.
They studied nuclear. I didn't mean to cut you off, but they studied nuclear more than they did the natural elements on the planet.
Right.
They've studied all the nuclear elements, and there's over 10,000 classified isotopes from. We're not talking about Russia or India or Pakistan or Israel or any other country or Canada. We're just talking about the American has over 10,000 classified isotopes, and that we are told about cesium and iodine, but they're actually just tracers. And so they mean all the other isotopes have migrated along with it. If you find one, you can almost guess the ratio. Like if you find iodine-131, and we did up to 20 million in a liter of rainwater in British Columbia, Canada after the meltdowns, this is extraordinary. But see, iodine disappears in about 8 days, its first half-life, and then over about 80 days, it's all gone, over 10 half-lives. But there are 10 times more 132, 30 times more iodine-133, 31 more times iodine-129 with a 15-million-year half-life. And so we always, like, we're fed this. All I'm trying to make the point of is we're fed these couple of isotopes. They're actually just tracers, and that meant everything else had to come by. So if you had 20,000 of one, multiply it by 31, you get that many times more. It's like crazy that people are not aware of that or able to understand that or the significance. And when you're talking about using ways of diminishing radiation, every isotope is different. Every isotope has a different property. Every isotope is created in a different volume. And so what might work for one of the 12,000 known isotopes very well might not work for all the other isotopes. They all have different properties, different electrons, different atoms, different neutrons, bombardments, and they have different atomic weights. And because the marine life and the eggs and larvae and small fries are notoriously extinct, even through the testing in back in the 60s and 50s, they seen a mass decrease in the population of marine species was one of the major studies that were coming up, because originally they were looking for data, and so they were encouraging that. Once they understood how bad it was, they stopped doing that, and they stopped publishing that.
Well, I think it was not only that, Dana, but like with the Roy process. The Roy process, and I'm glad this gentleman brought this up, it's something that sounds like it's could be a source, a fix in a limited way, but it's just an indication of how much they have subverted any hope of remediation. Like they're
right.
working really hard and making sure that all we do is get nuclear pollution. They store, in the United States, we store our nuclear waste in containers that are less than 3/8 of an inch thick, less than a half an inch thick. That's an outrage.
Right.
And that is
and not only that
thing.
Stuff can permeate out through that stuff. It can come right, like you know, the big cascade tanks the welders are using. These isotopes were able to permeate themselves right out of that. Hydrogen, won't, that's why you can't have hydrogen cars, is because the hydrogen isotopes and atoms will actually go right out of the cascade tanks. You have to make it on the fly. That's why they're going to electrolysis in order to have hydrogen cars, because you can't store hydrogen. And then the man-made ionizing radioactive elements are performing the exact same way, but not, you know, a lot of these isotopes, you're talking about 1/10,000th, 1/1,000,000th of a meter. take a meter divided by a million, divide one of those by 10,000. And so you can put 2 million atoms on the head of a needle, but if they're from a chain reaction, you distribute it out, that's 2 million cancers. But before the cancer shows up, there's 1,800 autoimmune deficiencies will show up. There's Alzheimer's, dementia, autism, there's diabetes, heart, liver, lung, respiratory, pituitary, adrenaline gland problems will all show up and manifest and diagnose. And people will liquidate their assets just dealing with debt before the cancer is manifested and diagnosed. Cancer takes a long time. And so when you have man-made radiation, I just want to make this point, in your body is attacking it relentlessly with white blood cells. You might not recognize that, but you feel lethargic and lazy and sleepy all the time. You don't have the energy. But that's because the white blood cells that are coming out of your spleen and your joints are trying to build a sarcophagus around that isotope that's in your body from a man-made. Now, natural stuff, your body can't hold anymore. But man-made, we can bioaccumulate it endlessly, and then your body is constantly attacking every single one of them trying to build a tumor around it. So now you're displacing the oxygen molecule in the body, and then people around nuclear power plants are 6 times more breast cancer in 15 mile zone, and there's 22% more leukemias, for killer leukemias for children if you're within 15 miles of a nuclear power plant. That's just from its regular releases from the spent fuel pools that have already gone through a chain reaction.
And that is from the limited studies. Let's make that caveat.
Right.
Those numbers are on very skewed, limited numbers.
Yeah, and this is just like research is going out knocking on doors, and it's not really a true study. If you were to study diabetes within a 50-mile of a nuclear power plant, or Alzheimer's, or dementia, or autism, you would really get yourself staggered. But they build these places in highly populated areas with transient populations, and so they're not able to record the long-term effect, and they don't even try. It was the studies we're looking at are from institutions, people that went out and knocked on actual doors. And, I mean, look at the studies coming out of Manhattan because of the dumps that were down there, where every house on every street had killer cancers. And then here's the Entergy and other corporations saying that there was no radioactive releases into the community. But you can't stop a radioactive release because you can't contain it. That's why there's no sarcophagus to hold on to it, because the noble gases are so volatile that if you try to contain it and it starts to build up when oxygen, it doesn't need a fire, it just needs oxygen to detonate. And so that's why we don't have a nuclear waste site. That's why we don't see Yucca Mountain. If we put all this stuff in one spot, we lose the planet anyway. Fukushima, on the flip side, is 3 100% meltdown, melt-throughs and melt-out. This is something we've never even seen on the planet before. Chernobyl, one-third the size. Chernobyl, 30% meltdown. Chernobyl only lasted 10 days, and Chernobyl was equal to 400 Hiroshima bombs. And like you say, the headlines yesterday, this Chernobyl anniversary is coming, was that Sweden, the reindeer in Sweden, still can't eat them. They only opened a fishery because of Chernobyl 2 years ago. So it was closed for 28 years, the freshwater fishery in Sweden. And then you can't sell the land or drink the milk or sell the meat in Ireland, Scotland, UK because of Chernobyl. But Chernobyl was a candlestick compared to what Fukushima. Now, Chernobyl was 600 kilometers inland. Chernobyl was way in interior. Fukushima is right directly on the ocean. And so this place was picked up and had its back broken by a massive earthquake that ran through our country at 9,000 miles per hour and shook it for 6 minutes. But the point being is that we've been pretending there was no melted reactors for so long. We've been telling everybody it's like a banana or a potato chip or walking in sunshine for so long that the majority of the population can't wrap their mind around the reality that it's not like any of that it's not benign or innocuous or harmless, and that we have an extinction event playing out in British Columbia. The birds are gone, down 11 species out of over 300, that the insects in the tidal zones, I barely seen 2 species in 260 days in the tidal zone when I should have seen around 10,000 species. And then out of the 5,600 highly visible species in the tidal zones, not counting the shellfish, that the underwater footage I took for 260 days, 15,000 miles of the coastline, we see an extinction event. Now we see that there's no ice left in the glaciers of the mountains of British Columbia, just snow after winter, but the glacier ice is actually gone. And so the freshwater lakes and rivers and estuaries are not going to get their cold water this spring. And so all the insects and frogs and small fries and fish and trout and birds and animals that are dependent on that ecosystems throughout the mountain ranges and the coastlines. So even the coastline of British Columbia is regulated by the cold water in the summertime coming off the mountains. And so this is an extraordinarily important part of the ecosystem. That is gone. All we got left is a bit of snow in the caps. That's not 5,000-year-old ice pack. The 5,000-year-old ice pack is gone because of the massive amount of tritium radioactive isotopes, 3H, coming out of the Fukushima released. So the jet streams get here in 3 days. The ocean currents get here in 45 days at 5 miles per hour. The crusher current whips across. Now, the coastline is kept warm all year long by the direct warm waters from Japan. It's a direct path here. And so here's the institutions like the University of Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. You've got Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution coming out and telling everybody it's like potassium 40, which is natural. It's harmless, indigenous, stupid, everyday, normal background radiation. And so right off the bat, that, you know, like in academics, defenses were up. But it turns out that our institutions are owned by the public relation firms. And so the people that they roll out were public relation firms, and they come out and lie to the entire population. And then I was demonized in the media right across Canada. CBC done 2 interviews with me, and they didn't even quote me. And because they couldn't quote me, because 2 20-minute interviews, I nailed them. I stuck it to them. But like I said to CBC, why don't you get a marine biologist and go to my website, thenuclearproctologist.org, and go look at the pictures of the coastline, and then look up the pre-studies of those areas. And Canada has been studied verbatim. It has been studied by major institutions. There's over 71 institutions right now in Banfield, British Columbia, Canada, on the west coast of Vancouver Island, carrying out ecological marine studies. Now, I was out there 3 times, and we 2,000 pictures a day of that coastline. There's 12 species left there. Now, Georgia Strait has 5,600 species. Banfield is supposed to have an extra 1,800 species, not counting the 6,500 invertebrates without the backbones. They're all gone. That's documented. But yet, here's 71 institutions never mentioned it a single time.
You know, this is the thing I want to ask you. Have you had anybody, you know how you say you have all these species, is there any kind of a written data journal, of a daily journal, where you've had some volunteers maybe that work with you up there that go out there and would be willing to like live for 3 months, say on the coast, and go out into a specific area every single day and count this? You know, that's how they create these scientific data. That's how the science, that's what, look at the, you know what's been interesting is watching Ken Buse fumble and bumble around with the water in the ocean and trying to tell us that the Pacific Ocean isn't that harmful. And it's just, but the way they do their data.
Well, you would check if, I can't comment on that.
I know
but
you
if
can.
You were going to check on,
what I'm saying,
would look at the krill, you would look at the microscopic world,
yes.
You would bioaccumulate in that. But unfortunately, that was wiped out, right?
But do we
and
have
so the reason they're checking water, people might check water, is because they know there's no species there. Now, they just admitted there was 500,000 birds died up the coastline here. They starved to death. That was a few weeks back, right?
Well,
they
know,
starved to death. There was 8,000 in a freshwater lake. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Lonnie.
I don't know if in Canada, but here, they are not
Northern
testing.
I'm sorry.
They're not,
yeah, go ahead.
They're not testing dead animals for radiation. Like when they find them, like Mimi Gurman was telling me, they found this big 300-pound fish that lives on the bottom of the Columbia River. Several of them, they live for 300 years, and they're about 250 pounds. They're flat fish, big, gigantic flat fish.
Sturgeon,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and they found them. And the state of Washington and the state of Oregon refused to test them for radiation. Because, you know, we have this issue with Columbia Generating Station, Hanford, and Fukushima. So it's they're bound to have radiation. She wanted to know. They wanted to know why. They were even refused to let radcast.org, Mimi's organization, get it tested for radiation. They intentionally said, no, we're not going to do it.
Right. No, that's their official policy. Like, a little while back, they had 99 the radiation detection networks for the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency in America, allegedly broke down. So out of 150, and so what did they do? They turned them all off. The other 51 off. Now, if you had an organization that's paid for by the people, is funded by the people, they gave them the authority and money, the equipment, and everything else to check for radiation, why would you shut it all down? Not only that, if you had 99 major, these Geiger counters are $500,000 Geiger counters. If you had 99 breaking down, wouldn't you call up the company? Wouldn't the company panic? Wouldn't the company give them new Geiger counters? Why would they shut the whole operation down? Because it's accumulating. It's coming out in the fog. It's coming out in the rain. The rain, you got tens of thousands of miles of clouds being picked up off the ocean every day. And the radionuclides are known to concentrate at the surface where the phytoplankton were concentrating. And that's why the phytoplankton is missing for most of the coast of British Columbia in particular. We've seen that the scientists now admit that the birds that died off didn't even have microscopic animals in their trace, in their tracks. And if anybody don't understand what that means, is that a glass of salt water would have a billion creatures in it, and that 75 to 100 million of them are phytoplankton, the base of the food chain, the oxygen, the carbon sequestering chain. Now, if they don't exist anymore, or if they existed, the birds would have had that in their tracks. So when a bird puts his face in the water, it'll pick up a few thousand of these microscopic creatures. But it not only did it starve to death, like all the whales and mammals and porpoises and everything else along the coastline that was been documented, they never even had microscopic in their stomach. And so that's because it's gone. They were alluding to that. They were admitting to it that the microscopic world was missing. So if the microscopic, that's the basis of the food chain. If you got an anchor and you start taking links off your anchor chain, you throw your anchor overboard, it's gone, and your boat is going to wash up on the rocks. We're washing up on the rocks. It's all gone. That's the problem. And the PR firm, the public relations firms now have a firm hold on our media, on our institutions, and so they're just apologists for the puke machine, the nuclear puke machine itself, by verbatimly talking about potassium, rubidium, and natural indigenous stupid isotopes that are harmless, that everybody's acclimated to through genetic
support. Well, that's why like these environmental groups all say, yeah, nuclear is good and clean. Let me give the number out. This is Earth Day, and this is Occupy Earth Day. You're listening to the Age of Fission radio show. This is Lonnie Clark with my co-host, Dana Durnford, special guest host. Thank you, Dana, for joining us. The phone number is 718. The phone number is 718-717-8296. And, please have your questions prepared for Dana. You can ask Dana a question. As you can hear, we had a caller who did give us a call and talk to us about the ROY process, which has been summarily buried by the government and may or may not be used. Or we have no idea. I think that's the point of the conversation was like, whatever that was, it was 30 years ago, and it has been buried, and they're obviously not using it. Obviously, it's an intentional thing. They're not looking for solutions. They're looking for death, murder and death. That's what I think. I mean, I'm going to be very frank. I think that the whole nuclear industry, this whole collusion, it's like a mafia. They silence our politicians. They silence the media. They fire anybody in the media that goes against them at all. It's really being run by a gang.
Yeah, it's a big taboo. You're not allowed to talk about it in realistic terms. You're only allowed to talk about it in this fantasy public relation that is like a banana or a potato chip or walking in the sunshine, and which is good for you. That's stuff that you like.
But
the man-made stuff, we have that because that's why we have terrorist laws. That's why we have nuclear waste repositories, is because this stuff. This is why we're worried about it. It's because we understand. Like, if you look at Dr. Raymond Gilmedes, where even the smallest amounts were killing the dogs for 35 years. For 35 years, they were killing dogs. Within 3 to 5 years, all the dogs in each study group were to be 100-150 animals at a time, would be fed plutonium or americium from a chain reaction. And every one of them had vicious tumors, vicious cancers, vicious diseases. And is well documented, but like Dr. Raymond Gilmedes from Loveless Respiratory Research Institute in New Mexico is not, I know I say New Mexico all the time, but he's not the only one out there. There's thousands of these Dr. Raymond Gilmedes killing animals with a man-made. And so that is the big 600-pound gorilla on everybody's back, is that has actually happened, but you're told that so most of the studies that are referred to are, and MIT said this after Fukushima on March the 15th, 2011. Dr. Jacqueline Yates was a radiation expert was at Harvard? MIT, that's right. And so what she said was all the studies that they used were based upon a one-minute exposure to humans, right? And so that's where they got to use all their data, from that one single exposure to humans. But if you look at radiation testing, where they took 800 pregnant women with Stanford, and injected pregnant women with man-made ionizing radiation. And when they died, or the fetuses died when they were born, they dug up the fetuses, they cremated the bones, and then they done Geiger counter readings on the cremated bones without getting permission from the family. So they gave them cancer, they waited for them to die, they dug them up, and then they studied the bones without telling anybody. That was declassified and came out. That was just one example. But they done it to orphanages, where they were feeding children radiated ionizing deadly plutonium and uranium-235 in porridge.
What year was this? An orphanage. In the 60s?
That was in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and 80s they were still at it.
Oh, my God.
They got a whole litany, a whole history of just being disgusting predators and disgusting parasites upon the human species. They don't have a moral compass, and they seem to think that they're untouchables, and they are. There's no media going to hold them accountable. Nobody's going to call them out. Media is not there to tell you what's left and what's right. They're there to tell you whatever it is the corporation wants to sell. They're a selling machine, and their job, they're like used car salesmen. That's all media is. It's a used car salesman, and it's trying to sell you something somebody else brought them that's garbage.
But you know what? This is what stuns me, Dana, and I don't know how you feel, but like these people, they actually, they're living in this environment. They're keeping their trap shuts. Like all these people, Dane Wigginton was talking about how all the people that are on the weather stations are there just mouthpieces, and anybody who tries to speak out is either terminated or threatened in some way. You know, if everybody
they're vilified and demonized.
Yeah, but if everybody speaks out and everybody bands together, they cannot have this control. It's only because the people have been kowtowed into silence. They all just go along to get along because none of them want to get the whip and none of them want to get beaten up. And, you know, this is getting serious. The planet is in a serious crisis. This is not something that we have the, frankly, luxury to be coerced. We have got to put our courage feet on. We have got to be willing to stand up to these monsters.
Well, you're going to protesting today, aren't you?
I am.
You and Kevin?
That's right. Me and Kevin Finnegan is an anti-nuke activist who moved to Oregon from New York. I told him to get the heck out of New York because of the tritium leaking. And he is out here, and we're going to go protest at the media. There's a Chad Drive here in Eugene, Oregon is where Fox News and CBS News is. They're on one street together. So we're going to go out there and protest, and then I go to school at noon, and he has to work at 3. So he'll be out there from 10 to 1, and I'm going to school, and then from 4 until 7, I'm going to go protest at the federal building out on Franklin. And I'm just going to – I was out there by myself last year. I mean, this is the interesting thing that I have discovered. People do not understand. In fact, Dana, you and I were mentioning this. You're young enough, you don't really quite remember what Earth Day was really about. Earth Day is a protest against the corporations harming our planet. The first Earth Day was in 1970. I was 15 years old. And it was a coordinated effort across at least America, where on the East Coast, it was either 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock on the Pacific Coast. On the East Coast, it was either 1 or 2. I don't remember the exact time. I was 15. All the students in every school got up and walked out of their class, and on Earth Day,
see, that's how it was done. Yeah,
on Earth Day, all the teachers, all the school administrators, all the shopkeepers, anybody who had a shop closed their office at 10 o'clock in the morning and walked to the Safeway. And there was, I lived in a suburb of Los Angeles called Hacienda Heights. There must have been 3,000 to 5,000 people who just bolted from their, and we were all in this massive parking lot with a speaker who had been organized by the Democratic Party talking about how it is up to us to stop the corporations from destroying our planet because they have no regard for the health of our planet. The guy spoke quite eloquently for 20 minutes. I don't even know who he was. I was just a kid. I was like bedazzled. I couldn't believe that my teachers walked out, that the principal of the school walked with us. The police officers got out of their car and walked with us. Everybody stopped what they were doing and said, hell no, we're not taking it anymore. Everybody.
We need that now, obviously, but we are in trouble, right? We are in serious trouble.
Yes.
We are in unimaginable deep, dark times.
And we do not have the luxury to ignore the radiation or the chemtrails. And Dane Wigginton is 100% correct. Those are the two major threats to life on our planet.
They took B-52 bombers. They put big nozzle. Now, people want to think about chemtrailing. The first thing they should think about is crop dusting. And then the next thing they should think about is fire retardant spray to put out forest fires. And then the next thing they should really put into perspective was they took that technology and then they went down to Vietnam. They sprayed Agent Orange toxin, dioxin, over that country from multiple jet, say, six B-52s rigged out to spray.
And like our soldiers, not just
for
the
9 years. For 9 years. 24 hours a day, until they took every leaf off every tree, until the Vietnamese went underground because they couldn't live above it anymore. And that is our legacy, 9 years of chemtrail. Do people really think for 1 second that just because we stopped the Vietnam War or we ended it, or we walked away from whatever you want to call it, from that massacre we created there, that we got rid of the technology all of a sudden, that we don't utilize it for more evil is moronic. Anybody who thinks for 1 second that this is not happening is literally stupid, and like, nobody can help them. You know, if you can't see it, you're stupid.
See,
that's
beyond
sorry.
It, yeah. Well, the thing is, people want to pretend like they want, because this is the thing, it's what we're talking about.
Oh, media never told them. Yeah, media never told them. Right? Good luck. You don't know nothing in
life. We have 15 minutes left. Let me give the phone number out. It's 718-717-8296. We probably have time for one more call. But Dana, thank you for this great conversation this morning. I really appreciate it. I would suggest that everybody, A, today, go out and occupy Earth Day. Create your own protest. Just go stand out. Make a little sign. Paint something up and go stand out and videotape it and post it on YouTube and let it be known that you're not going to take it anymore. It doesn't matter how many people showed up.
Use your voice.
Yeah.
Just something, anything. Make a Twitter or bark about it. Do something.
Yes.
And
exactly. So we need to. We need
to. You wake somebody up. If you only got 3 followers, you probably woke up one of them. If you got 100, you probably woke up one of them. If you got 1,000, you probably woke up one of them, whatever. But you tried.
Exactly.
You might not woke up none of them, but you tried. And then next time you're a bit more articulating, and a bit next time after that you have a bit more data.
And you know what? The next time you do it, you won't be as scared to do it. Because really, it's a matter of, it's hard to get out and start speaking out when we feel like our jobs might be threatened, our family will be mad at us.
When it comes to speaking out, to your loved ones, your friends, and your families, the rule of thumb is to be gentle. The rule of thumb is not to push it. The rule of thumb is to introduce them to it, and they can walk away from it, call you kooky, ignore it. They won't remember that tomorrow or the next day, the day after, the week after, the month after. But at some point in the future, they're going to remember because they're going to learn, and they're going to say, shit, so-and-so knew something about that. I better call them up and ask them. And they won't think twice about it. They won't remember they insulted you or that you felt insulted or that you... Because that is human nature. See, we do that. We blow things off that we don't want to understand, we can't understand, or that we joke about it, or we try to ignore it, or something like that. But the blind boy, when we understand it, we remember those little tidbits. Somebody mentioned something, we go talk to them.
Right.
And so your opportunity, if you learn now, in the near future, your loved ones will come asking. Right? And if you mention it once in a while, in increments over a couple of weeks, it's a lot better than trying to force the issue with somebody. Because now they had time to think about it and digest it and had time to look at it themselves. And then when you explain it to them, they understand what they looked at was probably a lie or the way they were told was a lie. They get it a little easier. They're able to accept it and incorporate it. Yeah.
Well, it's like Dane Wigginton says, look, don't trust anything we say. Go look it up yourself. Like, none of this is made up information. It's all documented. This is the weird thing. It's the Bush rule. George Bush always told us exactly what he was doing. He didn't. Mission accomplished did not mean we accomplished the mission in Iraq.
He said you're either with us or you're against us. He was right. And look at it now. Anybody that wasn't with him, they're censored on the internet. They're vilified. They got the left-right paradigm attacking each other. And nobody
can
have
a conversation. What do they call us, the people on the mainstream media? Oh, all those conspiracy theorists who still think that Fukushima is a threat. Like, I heard somebody on MSNBC say
that's
something
PR
about
firm, yeah.
Those conspiracy theories who still think that Fukushima is a threat. You know, they're not really kooky, but for some reason they're really freaked out about what's going on in Fukushima, even though it's not that bad.
And it's meant to indoctrinate the people that are comfortable with that narrative and reinforce that there's nothing wrong to the people that bought into it. And those people are reprehensible. They're war criminals. They're committing crimes against humanity. And that they should lose their degrees from their institutions, wherever they got them, for making assertions like that. Or making assertions like bananas or potato chips. You should be held to account. People should contact. If the media tells you it's like a banana or a potato chip or walking in the sunshine, you should find out who the author is. You should contact the institution where they got your journalism degrees, and you should complain about it. If they're a scientist, you should contact that university and put in a complaint that these people are abusing their degree and embarrassing the institution that gave it to them. I mean, that's ultimately one of the ways to go after them. But we got an extinction event. And this is gonna blow up in everybody's face over the next... At the end of this year, there ain't going to be no whales left here in British Columbia, Canada. Everything that showed up on the coastline died. Everything died, it starved, everything was emaciated, and every other species was the exact same way. And the documentation coming out about these extinction events is very vast and very encompassing of all the species, and that we document the whole coastline. Like me going out and taking pictures of the entire coastline in Canada, you can't ask for a better study than that. That shows the symmetrical look at the entire coastline of Canada. And, you know, if it's not here, it's not there, it's not there, it's not there, it's not here, it's not here, it's throughout the entire coastline, that means it's gone. It's
all people have to do, Dana, is go type in Google mass animal deaths 2016. You want to know what was reported today? A ton of shrimp, one ton of shrimp and other fish have died in a pond in Phuket, Thailand. Massive die-off of fish, an environmental disaster in the waters of Magdalena, Colombia.
Well,
200,000 fish have died in farms in Taipei, Malaysia, in a farm. Yesterday, 50 dolphins found stranded, 10 dead on the beach in Campbellpool, Panama. They're all dying in South America.
See, the odds of having two on the beach is very, the numbers are really, really way out there. The odds of having three die on one beach is extraordinary. The odds of having 50 on the beach there is no odds.
Right. That's just right? Hundreds of fish die in a lake. The whole lake is dead in Alberta, Canada.
Right.
I mean, this is going on around the world. And this is every day. Like, just, okay, so if you go to, this is April 22nd. If I scroll down, you cannot imagine. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I would say there's at least 150 entries from the beginning of this year. I mean, 400 tons of fish died on January 27th. Scrolling up, 700,000 birds killed. And this is interesting. They always call it the avian flu in Kurdistan on February 3rd. Scrolling up, I mean, 167,000 birds killed the avian flu in Katsina, Soko. This is what they're calling avian flu. It's not avian flu, folks. It is nuclear pollution in the air that's killing these birds and in the ocean that's killing the animals. What is killing hundreds of thousands of fish found in Mexico, in Spain, in Nigeria, in Thailand? 100 turtles dead. This is why I get wound up here, to be frank. So, are you there, Dana, with us? Oh, you know what, folks? I have a feeling that Dana's on the other side of the ferry, so he's going back down to his car. But let me just look. We have 5 minutes left. I'm going to hang on the line with Dana in case he comes back on. I'm not going to disconnect the call like he did before at the beginning of the show. But I really do encourage people to go to Dana Durnford's website, www.nuclearproctologist.org. He has done a lot to document the truth about the nuclear pollution and how it is killing the coastline of North America, Canada specifically, 15,000 miles, I think he said. So it's very important. There is a donate button. He would not ask you for it. Please go there to donate on Dana Durnford's website. And you know what? Occupy Earth Day today. Right now it is 10, 11 o'clock somewhere all across the East Coast, West Coast. West Coast, it's 8 o'clock, almost 9 o'clock. So you guys are heading into noon and 1 o'clock. Put a sign together. Go stand in the evening traffic this afternoon and make people uncomfortable. I mean, make a sign that says, what, when scientists lie, people die? Or Hillary Clinton knew nuclear pollution was escaping? How about that one? I mean, there is so much to talk about. The massive animal deaths. Stop nuclear. Stop the chemtrails. I mean, write whatever you need to write for yourself, but go out and protest. Occupy Earth Day. Don't let it be about celebrating the earth and let's plant a tree. You're going to plant a tree so that it gets exposed to nuclear pollution and say nothing about the fact that that freaking tree will probably be mutated and dead in 100 years if we don't stop the nuclear massive death going on. So I see that we lost Dana Durnford. Let me try to give him a call again, folks, so that maybe we can let me dial his number again. Maybe we can just say goodbye to him. I know it's late in the show, but it would be really nice to thank him for coming on. And Let me see if we can get him back on the phone. How about that? And if we can't, I just will thank Dana anyways. We have about 5 minutes left.
QB2. The number now, you have reached.
Cannot get Dana Durnford on the phone, so that's not going to happen. He does have the call-in number, so if he could call in, I guess he will. So I want to thank everybody for joining our show. I can't believe that we are here on Earth Day. It has been, I think I've been on since 8 or 9 months now. Been an interesting journey, and I have to say, when I was 15 years old, I had no idea that I would be standing up against the nuclear industry, trying to figure out a way so that I could actually interview Dr. Helen Caldicott, which is going to be something that's happening soon. I am going to be getting a program where I'll be able to interview her. So anyways, I want to thank everyone for joining us. Today is Earth Day. Please do go occupy Earth Day. Go find a way. Check out these animal deaths, you guys. Yesterday, 200,000 fish died in Taiping, Malaysia. The phone number, if anybody wants to call in, we have a minute or two. If anybody wants to say anything, 718-717-8296. I think we have time for a 2 or 3 minute call. We have about 4 minutes left. Massive die-off of fish as never seen before in Vietnam. Hundreds of fish die in a lake. Never seen this before in Princeton, New Jersey, folks. Princeton, New Jersey. I mean, this is affecting every single part of the world. 4,000 tons of sardines washed up in Araucanía, Chile. 48 dead turtles have washed up in the Gulf Coast this year. Scientists are puzzled in Colombia. Really? They're puzzled? The planet is dying and the scientists are puzzled. You know what they're puzzled about? How the heck are they going to stop being coerced and colluded? How do they maintain paying for their mortgages and speak the truth to the monsters who are refusing to talk about the harm that they're causing our planet? That's the problem. That's what's puzzling these scientists. They're not puzzled about why these animals are dying. They're puzzled about how they're going to be able to tell the truth. Because they are being subverted by their superiors. If they want a paycheck, they say nothing. April 14th, 1,000 cattle died dead due to high nitrate grasslands. High nitrates. That's something that we have here in our country, high nitrates, folks. Thousands of dead swordfish found in Lopez Mendes in sands in Brazil. Massive die-off in a fish reservoir in Omsk, Russia. Thousands of fish dead in a river due to drought in Thailand. 1,000 pigs dead due to gas mining pollution in Chinchilla, Australia. How much more do we need to know before we understand that it is serious? And we can no longer have the luxury of ignoring this. Kevin Finnegan and I are going to be out on Chad Drive at 10 o'clock until 1 o'clock this afternoon here in Eugene, Oregon, protesting in front of Fox News and CBS News. I don't know how many people we'll reach. From 4 to 7, I'm going to be out in front of the federal building here in Eugene, Oregon. I encourage everyone to figure out a way to go build a protest sign, get your bodies in the street. It's not enough just to call them. We have got to really make a physical presence so that they understand we're serious. This is Occupy Earth Day, folks. And the shit is hitting the fan. And we are just looking at it like we're just letting them hit us over the back of the head. Well, not me. I'm going down swinging. So put your courage feet on. Do it afraid. Take some action. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Dana Durnford, for joining us. Please go to www.nuclearproctologist.org. Join us on Monday. I look forward to it. And thank you, guys. Go protest. Occupy Earth Day.